Good morning, everybody. It's looking like summer has returned. I guess you can notice that a whole lot more of God's little creatures have decided to join in this morning. The cicadas are getting pretty loud, and the frogs and the crickets, they're all just joining into the song of the morning. And the mozzies are around too. But I also know that there's a lot of people that's going back into the drought again. And that's a bit of a worry. We've just been through one of the most severe droughts that Australia's ever seen, and we would really like not to do that again. So let's just take just a moment to pray about that. Father, I thank you that we can bring this request to you. Thank you for the beautiful morning and all the little creatures that are joining in with the song of the morning. But Father, you know the drought seems to be kicking off again. I know the weather people are predicting more rain this year than normal. We've not seen that yet. I just hope they're right and the rain kicks in. So Father, I pray that you will send the rain. We'll give you the glory. Ask that you just send the rain and pray to keep us from another prolonged drought. Lord, we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Today, I want to once again ask the question that we asked last week, or even make the statement, that I believe God is looking for someone that he can use. And a big question is, are we, you and I, people that God can use? And last week we looked at David because God said something specific about David in Acts chapter 13, verse number 22. If you recall, God had rejected Saul and removed him from being king, took his spirit away from him. And Paul records that story here when he says, "And when he had removed him, he raised up David to be their king, of whom he testified and said," remember this is God speaking, "I have found in David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart." Well, that's a pretty profound statement, something that most every one of us would like for God to say about us. But then God goes on to add one of the qualifications of somebody that he would use, and he says, "Who will do my will?" So here's a question. Can God say of us, "I have found in you a person after my own heart"? And now, let's take a look a little further into David's life and see if we can discover some of the characteristics about David that made him uniquely qualified to be somebody that God can use. Well, first of all, as we've said, David would do all that God wanted him to do. And that was a primary characteristic of somebody that God's looking for. Let's real quickly make that application to ourselves. Will we do all that God wants us to do? That's a big question. And in David's life, if you remember, he was a young shepherd and he learned obedience by simply doing what his father asked him to do. God looked at him and said, "Yeah, I like that guy." So obedience is a major key to being used of God. Obedience is a major key to being used of God. But there's something else about David. David was also passionate about God. Remember that we read when David heard Goliath taunt the army of God, he responds, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" When David heard this humiliating taunt, he got fired up. He was saying, "Who is this guy that would be embarrassing God's army?" Folks, that was passion. That was passion coming alive. If you recall, King Saul hears about David's comments and he calls for him, and King Saul honestly thought the kid was crazy. But David explained, God has enabled me to kill a lion and a bear to protect my sheep, and this Philistine will be no different. You see, David had proven God in the past and found him trustworthy. That's somebody that God can use. David had seen God work. He had tested God in the past, and God always come through. So at this place, David was willing to put his life on the line because he trusted God. Here's a big question. What would we have done? Now let's see what happens. Saul tried to give David his armor, and David rejects that. Let's read the story in 1 Samuel 17:40. Then he took his staff in his hand and chose 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in his shepherd's pouch. His sling was in his hand, and he approached the Philistine, and Goliath started moving towards David. Let's stop reading just a moment. If you were watching this all unfolding in front of you, what would you be thinking? Yeah, I know, me too. This will be a massacre, and David is a goner. So as David approached, Goliath looks at him, and you could just hear him in a booming, deep voice. Am I a dog that you would send this kid out to fight me? And he said, I'll kill you and feed your body to the birds. Well, listen as David responds in verses 45 and 47 of 1 Samuel 17. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with sword and with a spear and with a javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Wow, you hear his passion? David continues, this day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut your head off. And I will give the dead bodies of the host of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth. Listen closely to what David says, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. That was his focus, the God of Israel. He continues in verse 47, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord saves not with the sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand. Wow, this is passion from a man who had a heart for God. And the whole point of this was to restore God's honor in the face of a huge giant who had made fun of God and his armies. Goliath had defied God, and God would enable David to win. He knew that, he had seen it in the past, and he knows right now God will deliver him. For he said, the battle is the Lord's, and he said, he will give you unto our hands. So, Goliath approaches, and I love what David does here. He's either crazy or confident, but David runs to the giant. He doesn't tiptoe, he doesn't creep, he doesn't hide. He runs straight at Goliath. David takes one stone and puts it into a sling, and he slings it around and around like he's probably done 1,000 times before, and he lets it go, and it hits its mark, and this big mouth, God-defying warrior falls flat on his face. Kuthud. David wins. But remember, winning was not David's goal. but restoring the honor of God was. Now listen closely. Let's get back to our topic. This is a man with a heart for God. Was he perfect? Not by any means, which we'll begin to look at next week. But he was a man who had a heart for God. So as Goliath dies, the Philistines start running. The army of Israel takes off for the Philistine, and there was a lot of people killed on that day. And whenever Israel returns back home, Saul makes David a commander of an army. And David wins battle after battle and David becomes a superhero in all of Israel. So much so that the ladies start singing, "Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed his 10,000s. Uh-oh. This is not going to be good. Now look, if you were King Saul, what would you be thinking? Everybody's praising and bragging on the new kid on the block. Well, Saul begins to rent David, and the vicious animal of jealousy dominates the king, and we all know what jealousy can do. From that point on, David, the shepherd boy turned warrior, is in constant danger. And let's just follow that as it develops. First, Saul starts sending David out to fight the Philistines every time the Philistines attack. I mean, surely after David had killed their champion, then they would want to get back at David. Well, God was with David, and David wins all the battles. Secondly, Saul tells the servants and family to kill David. Everybody on the inside is instructed to kill David. However, David had a friend, Jonathan, the son of Saul, who warned David, and he kept David informed with what was going on. Then one day, Saul was having a really, really bad day, which he was prone to. And David at those times normally brings his harp and comes in and plays some of his music and drives that evil spirit away. But this time as David was playing, Saul took his spear that was right next to him and tried to pin David to the wall. Fortunately, David escaped and he ran and he went out into the wilderness. A little further on in the story, David had gathered a group of men around him. And he and his men went to the priest's house because they were looking for something to eat. And the priest looked after them, he fed them, and he even gave David Goliath's spear, which David said, "There's none other like that." Well, because Ahimelech had helped David and his men, Saul went after him. And you know what he did? He killed Ahimelech and 84 other priests on that day. And all that they had, their family and kids and their animals, all because he was jealous and his hatred of David had reached levels that would just drive anybody crazy. There was no limit to Saul's hatred of David. So let me ask you, Saul's king. Saul's trying to kill you. What would you do if you were David? Well, David knew that Saul wanted to kill him, and he really didn't want to confront Saul because he knew things wouldn't go well, and he started running. He gathered his men, and he tried to stay out of Saul's way. Well, the cat and mouse continued, and they went place after place after place, and it seemed that Saul always kept hearing where David was, and he would send his men, and at times Saul himself would go there. And finally, the cat and mouse running finally came to an end. Both armies end up in the same place, and this place is called the Rocks of the Wild Goats. Doesn't really sound like a welcome place to be. Well, David and his men are hiding in a cave. I think the Bible calls it the cave of Adullam, because Saul is getting really, really close. Well, the Bible tells the story that Saul gets so close that he goes into that cave to do his business. And it appears that God had led Saul right into David's hands. David could do whatever he wanted to. David's men started telling him, "Listen, David, this is the day that you've been waiting for, and God has delivered Saul to you. He has put him right here in the palm of your hand." So David sneaks up on Saul. He reaches and gets his knife, and he cuts the corner of his robe off, and nothing else. David, are you crazy? Saul's trying to kill you, and all you do is cut the corner of his robe? You let him go. David tells his men, "I will not stretch out my hand and touch the Lord's anointed." You see, revenge was not his focus. Getting even was not his focus. It wasn't in his mind. All common sense was saying, "Here's your chance, David. Kill Saul and you will be free." David even had to restrain his own men, because I'm sure his men at that point wanted to do the job for him. And David said, "I will not touch him." We could all learn from this. Many times in our lives, our honor, our reputation, or even the things that we believe are at stake, and we want to fight, we want to get even, we want to attack the other side, but there is a bigger cause. Remember, David was a man after God's own heart, and it was God's honor that he was interested in. Our media, our people of our culture, our politicians, it seems at this point in history, everybody needs to learn that there is a bigger cause. Revenge, attack, pursue, discredit should not even come into the picture. Getting even should never be our goal. The honor of God is. No wonder that Peter wrote, "Do not return evil for evil or accusation for accusation. Don't pay back in like kind." Even Jesus said, "Do to others as you would have them do to you." So David, a man after God's own heart, instinctively knew this. And you and I need to remember this. And so does everybody else in our culture. So David was a man that God could use. And let's real quickly just review the characteristics that he had that showed that he was a man that God could use him. Firstly, he was a man that knew obedience, first to his father as a boy and to his heavenly father later on. Secondly, he was passionate about the glory of God and the honor of God. And there is no question that David was passionate. He was overwhelmingly passionate for God. Third, he had trusted God in the past and found him trustworthy. God is faithful. Let me say it again. God is faithful. Have you trusted him? And next, David had no problem putting his life on the line and trusting God for the outcome. The more we trust God, the more we commit to God, the more our confidence grows in God. And finally, David was a man that had a focus on the bigger picture. Revenge or getting even was not a motivation for him. He trusted God to be his defender, and God always came through. Folks, you and I, as Christians, we need to learn that God will come through if we will allow him the opportunity. Often we jump in and we mess things up before God has a chance to work. Let's be as David and trust God as our defender. So this is what God was looking for in a man or a woman that he could use. So finally, I guess our question is, are we people that God can use? Are you a person God can use? Am I? That's something to consider. Why don't you spend some time with God and see if you can get it all worked out. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for today, and thank you for David. I thank you for your word that's given us a clear picture of the characteristics that he had that you used. And Father, I pray that those characteristics will be a part of my life, and they will be the characteristics in people's lives that are listening, so we could band together and we could win back this world for your glory. Father, you may ask us to do that in some extraordinary way. And here's the question. Will we trust you? Will we move forward in confidence in you as our defender? Lord, I ask these things in the name of Jesus and for his causes. In Jesus' name, amen.